It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to UGA Sports Live Podcast here from Champy's on Back Street. My name is Roddy DeBulsa. I'll be your host for the next hour. I'm the publisher of UGASports.com, the number one site where you get your Georgia football news, scoop, and analysis. I'm joined by recruiting savant Jake Roos. He's the guy you get all your recruiting news from, and also a pretty good photographer, it turns out. We gave him a new camera, a new lens the other day. He took some great pictures of the Georgia game. Go check him out at UGASports.com. And then we had some guy we found on the street. He looked like he knew something about football. We brought him in and joined the show. It says his name is Jim Donnan. I've never heard of him. Maybe you have. But Jim Donnan is joining us for the duration of the show. And he has a lot to talk about when it comes to the Georgia 45-0 victory over Austin Peay. Good way to start the season off. Real quick, want to give a shout-out to Athens Ford, big sponsor of our show. You see their nice little Raptor here. You should go get one of those Raptors. Aaron Overhead Door. I know there are other overhead door companies out there. My first job was for one of them. I wish I'd worked for Aaron Overhead Doors. So shout out to them, big sponsors of the show. I know that they were actually there the other day. Academia, excuse me.
My personal favorite sponsor.
Our favorite sponsor of the show.
I hate to pick favorites, but
yeah, it's like, who's your favorite kit? Oh, I'll name my favorite kit in a heartbeat, but the one that has free beer each week.
You only have one kit.
Yes, the Academia Brewing Company. Thanks so much for being a big sponsor of the show. For all the people that came in, I got something really cool to tell you about those folks when they come in. Oops. That's kind of annoying. Great place to watch the games, especially for away games at Academia. We'll talk more about that in the show. Of course, EuroPie, if you want a pizza, if all those people that came into town got pizzas, that's what I did Friday. Went and had actually a buy one, get one free, Coach. They sent me an email, said buy one, get one free. So I went out and grabbed two pizzas, one for me and one for the boy. And, of course, Cable East out in Statham, Georgia. Thanks, Robert Wall, for being a sponsor of the show. Anyway, let's get right into it. Coach.
How about the gear, too? Let's talk about the gear.
Excuse me, I'm about to cough here. I had a cold yesterday. 365 game day.
Outstanding. Cool. All right. Oh, good.
Hey, don't move the car too far.
No, I want to make sure we get this.
I see you getting that in there real quick.
Yeah, get this in my line of sight here.
Yeah, if you get a chance, swing out by 365 game day. They also have a special where you can sign up for UGASports.com at $20 off. So anybody looking for
that's
a special? Yeah. So they can do that. Coach, give me your initial thoughts on the Austin Peay game.
You know, right off the bat, I just thought our team was ready to go after hard practice all summer and good preparation. Looked like, very well focused, didn't make many mistakes. No question we greatly outmanned the other team. And, you know, I think just being able to get that many guys, get some reps under fire, having the crowd there, from my standpoint, when you can have 110 recruits come to a game like we did Saturday and have, all those guys inside watching the game on TV or moving outside, or it's just a tremendous outpouring of what UGA is all about. So regardless who you're playing, when you get that many guys on your campus, whether they're freshmen, sophomores, juniors, whatever it might be, that in itself is worth a lot, and that's really the first – day after a dead period all of August. So that was a positive. And then just overall, we got some things we got to work on, but I'd say a real plus right now for me right out of the box is our kicking game's on a different planet. With this guy punting, with this guy kicking the extra points and field goals, with our athletes covering, with our athletes returning kicks. You know, I say this every year at this time of year, one out of every six plays in a game is some kind of kick. And that was a difference for us last year. Our kicking game made a quantum leap, but I can see it being even better this year. I'm really excited about that. I was excited to see so many of the young guys get in there and perform. And, you know, no question we got a real test this week, which we'll talk about. But, you know, it was just a very dominating performance.
Yeah, to your point about the recruits there, Jake has a very good photo gallery of some of the recruits that were in town. A lot of the commits, you know, came to town. And there were plenty of other games they could have gone to that were more intriguing. So.
Absolutely. And I might be writing a little something about that later this week in my Browns territory. Way to preview that for me real well. Yeah. But, Coach,
it's
I wanted
called
to ask
foreshadowing.
You mentioned that the kicking game. That was something I came away very impressed with. I want to know your impressions of this freshman punter, Jake Marta. He smoked a couple there.
Yeah, and you know, I think Roddy alluded to it earlier in the year, which was very astute thinking by him. But he might lead the league in kicking, but not have enough punts with our offense this year. I think our offense is going to be pretty good, but I think some of the teams we're playing are not very good. So that's going to really add to your stats too. I mean, you look at teams like UMass and Middle Tennessee. You know, those kind of games, you know, you're not going to have a lot of punts in those games, and then who knows about some of the others. But, again, he's a very meticulous practice guy. He works hard. He knows how to take care of his leg, which I think is very important with punters. You know, some guys go out there and just kick, and it's one thing to be able to kick in practice with a fresh leg, but you got to have a fresh leg when the band's playing. And Coach Fountain does a good job of monitoring all that, and it's just you look at the kicking game last night. I mean, that was a tight fit game that really neither team could score much. But you block a punt for a touchdown when you're having a hard time scoring. Boy, I'm telling you, that's a big difference. And I could see us having the kind of kids that can block kicks. And we got good return guys, too, that really I don't know how they're going to decide who's returning, because they're all good and they're all safe catching the ball. And, you know, everybody's saying, hey, what are you doing talking about the kicking game? But I think of the three phases right now of our team, I think our kicking game's ahead of the other two.
Well, to your point, and I'm actually writing a 3-2-1 that addresses this. One of my observations in the 3-2-1, again, a little preview, a little foreshadowing. Talking about the kicking, I went back and looked at 2 years ago. Rodrigo Blankenship on touchbacks for the entire season, 20 kickbacks. He's about 36%. Saturday he had 8. You know, and okay, and a lot of people say, well, that's against Austin Peay. It doesn't matter on a kickoff. It doesn't matter who's back there. And here's the thing. South Carolina has some great return kids. They if you kick it to them, they will bring it out. But a lot of Rodrigo's kicks were out of the back of the end zone. Zero chance in hell returning that ball. I mean, you see it go into the stands, you don't get a chance to return it. So big shout-out to him and big shout-out to Jake Camarda. You know, and, you know, Camarda's a freshman. And, Coach, you're talking about, you know, you got 110 kids sitting there in that new complex, $60 million. The West End Zone project looks phenomenal. I mean, that is a recruiting palace. Let's call it what it is. I know a lot of people kind of roll their eyes at, you know, the money, but here's the thing.
Why would somebody run their eyes about that?
Well, the same people, I saw this with the Kansas State thing. A lot of people are saying, why are schools spending money on athletics when they could use that money for scholarships? And I always point this out. UGA Athletic makes a lot more money. It doesn't cost the school money. They actually give the student fund money. So money from athletics goes to the student population. It's not. They're not taking money away from the students. I know, Coach.
It would be different to me if we were in the red and we didn't have and we were going against, you know, Slippery Rock or something. But we're not.
No, you're going up against good schools.
Alabama just made a $600 million deal set up for the next 6 or 7 years, what they're going to do. It's not so much an arms race to me. It's just what you got to do to be even.
Yeah.
You don't want something to hold you back with a kid. Now, we start out ahead on a lot of guys in Georgia, but you don't want to lose somebody because you don't have something that somebody else has. And I think the main thing for us is we got a coach here that knows what to do with from the standpoint of what everybody else is doing. And, you know, I'm really happy about the commitment that our people have made, the McGill Society, Jerry Moorhead, you know,
they're funneling tons of money into it.
But they are. But, I mean.
But they're also making tons.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, the SEC Network's not giving us 40-some million a year to go watch volleyball. I think our volleyball's making a lot of progress, too.
He's a fantastic coach. Great hire, Greg
McGarrity. I know a lot more about volleyball than I used to because my granddaughter's playing it. And then I went to the camp. The guy's got a good camp. I'm high on volleyball. I probably should have said some other sport that's not doing as well.
No, they did fantastic. I think one season they were winless against the SEC. Then the next year they only had like one win against the SEC. Last year he completely turned the program around. They look good this year. But to your point, you're right. We go to those Georgia – I mean, if you go to the volleyball thing, there's you're not getting a $40 million check from the SEC network for that. So you're getting money. The contributions are up 200%. What are you going to do with this money? You're not paying the athletes. You know, you're giving them scholarships and stuff like that.
And I remember not that long ago when people were talking about all the money stored up in the war chest. When's Georgia going to spend? When's Georgia going to spend? You know, I mean, it was all the
time. That's my pet peeve, because you probably heard it from me relentlessly. I would talk to, Frank Crumley over there, or talk to Damon Evans, and they would talk about how Georgia was the second most profitable school in the United States.
Right behind Texas, I believe.
Yeah, and I'm like, congratulations. What the hell does that get you? Did it get you a first down? Did it get you a better coach? Did it get you facilities? You have a video coordinator as your strength coach. You know, why didn't you go out and get the best strength coach in America? Why didn't you go out and get the best facilities in America? If you're number two, then there's only should be one school better than you when it comes to facilities. Georgia didn't have that. But
well,
now,
here's the point I would make, and I think you made a good point there, and I'm not interrupting you. You got anything else on that?
I do.
All right, go ahead, finish.
No, I just want to bring it back around to you spent $60 million for a recruiting palace. You have it, and those kids got to watch 20-something freshmen and redshirt freshmen play in a game. These are guys who went to camps with Jake Camarda and Tyson Campbell and Brenton Cox. They've been to our camps. They've been to Nike camps, Under Armour camps. They know these guys. They do the recruiting circus. They go on visits. And the guys that they're close to, not the guys that are seniors, you know, they were eighth grade when these guys were seniors. Kids that they're close to, they're watching them on the field make plays. And it makes it so that they think, I like the facilities here, but I could see myself running out of this tunnel and being on that field.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to give you a hypothetical here. Let's go back 3 years ago, and you're a great high school football player, and you're coming to the University of Georgia for a visit. First of all, you don't know where you're going to park.
Yeah.
You know, you say, okay, we want you to come to the Butts-Mir building. Okay, come to the Butts-Mir building, but find a place to park. Then hopefully hopefully the coaches will be there, but we might be down at the stadium because we got a game, we got to warm up. So if you don't get there and find a place to park, and then you come to Butts-Mir, then come on down there, walk on down, and then find a place, find us there. And then when you get there, we're going to put you up in a room there that's, you know, for about 25 people. It's got a bad air conditioner and bad carpet in it. But we want you to really enjoy Georgia, and we're going to stack up with Alabama on that game day experience. Now you go to this year. You go out and you find the parking out there at the. They got places for you to park out there at the softball complex. They put you on a bus. They bring you down to the stadium. You go in. You walk through. Go up there in that air conditioned place. You watch the dog walk. You sit up there with all the other people, and you got all these TVs going on. Now you tell me, is that the difference between being big time and night and day?
Night and day. Absolutely.
The dog walk, especially. Jake and I, we were down there taking. Jake did a live stream of a dog walk. Speaking of which, go to the UGA Sports
YouTube page
and subscribe to that, because we've
had. Is that legal to stream that now? And they let you do that?
Yep. So they.
Is that okay with Kirby?
Yeah.
I don't want you to chap his ass about it.
No, we only ask him about the quarterback things and what. See if he, you know, we ask him about who's going to be a starting quarterback, then we duck because we know he's going to swing at us, you know. Or maybe that's Nick Saban. I get my. Coaches.
I think Kirby's handled that really well.
He's been very I give credit. I like his pat answer is as good as you're going to get. Hey, it's a competition. And then he brings up other competitions so that it doesn't sound like a line, even though it is. It's still it's good. It's a hey, it's a competition. You'll find out, you know, the same time South Carolina does. And we're not asking him who's going to start. We've been asking him about what does he see in Justin Fields? What improvements has he seen in Jake Fromm? We're not bugging him with the same questions that, you know, Saban's going to.
We're not.
Well, this is true. We're not.
The other thing is he's got cred with these guys. I mean, his credibility is such. If I tell you something, I'm going to give you a shot. As compared to, hey, one of the worst things you can tell anybody is something to give them encouragement about it and then don't do what you say.
Yeah,
and he's been very good about being you look at all these freshmen that are – they're getting opportunities, and I think down the road, some of these guys, not necessarily in any one position, but some of these guys are feeling the heat from some of these guys breathing down their throat.
Sure.
Yeah, and to your point, when we're out there watching the dog walk, you're watching these kids come in, Jake's I'm taking pictures, Jake's streaming it on our YouTube channel, ujsports.com, and we look around behind us, and there's this balcony right outside the recruiting facility in the west end zone where the player, where the recruits can watch the players walk in through the dog walk. Now, in the past, they had to be at the top of the Tate Center deck, you know, which is impossible to see it. You don't get the pageantry of it. You don't get the how impressive it is from up there. Now they're in this recruiting deck.
Best seat in the house. It's
literally the best place to watch the dog walk. And then they turn around and go in a nice air-conditioned spot, and they come out. After it's over, and this is how I bring it back around to your point, they go talk to the players. The recruits talk to the players. If you have players saying, yeah, well, they promised me playing time, but I never got it. They promised me X and it never happened. They strung me along and it didn't happen. You said countless number of times on this show, the best recruiters for your program are the players that are currently on the roster.
Exactly.
And the current players on the roster are being taken care of.
Right.
So it's night and day, especially
I tell you, I just remember when Bobby Riggs played Billie Jean King, and he came out there before the match, and he had a dog and a pair of sunglasses and all like that was going to be his handicap, you know. Yeah. That's what we've been under on a game day experience. We've been in a handicap. Once a game started, we were okay. But prior to the game, we were in a difficult situation as far as taking care of recruits.
Well, and then after –
and you compare them to where other people go. You
sure.
Talk to these kids.
No doubt, no doubt. And then after the game, you ran into some of the same problems because you can't take them into that locker room, the old locker room,
can't
and impress anybody.
It.
Right, exactly. So I think overall it was it's a huge improvement. I thought that the recruits looked impressed. I was impressed to see how many commits they got out there. It was a good day overall.
You mean
from
commits that had been committed before?
I do, yeah.
We didn't get anybody.
Yeah,
okay.
No.
You got to be careful saying that on the show. Now, some people won't know.
Jake's tipping his hand a little bit. He may know something we don't.
So real quick, how many commits were here? Just run them off.
Let's see. Nazir Stackhouse, Jamil Burrows, Jalen Perry, Warren McClendon, Rylan Godey, Dominic Blaylock, and I'm missing one.
That's pretty
Trayvon
good.
Walker.
That's
seven.
Pretty good.
So you had seven between the two
good
classes.
Good-looking kids on the hoof. Yeah. I like those pictures of them, too. I mean, pictures don't lie. I mean, you can't stuff a guy to look good in their uniform. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Jamil Burrows fills it out. Trayvon Walker, those two guys, your 2019 and 2020 kid, right?
Exactly. Yes, yep,
yeah.
Yep.
That defensive line is, in the future is going to look stout.
Looks good.
You know,
looks good.
You can't. Just same with during the dog walk, I'm taking all these pictures, and Isaiah Wilson comes through the line. I mean, you got a –
it's like an NBA player walking
seriously,
in.
Seriously, you got all these guys who are giants, and then there's one who's head and shoulders bigger than all them.
Yeah, he looks like the dad. He looks like the thing that they all, like, kind of fell off of.
I like the way they dress up, too. And, you know, those kids take a lot of pride in what they're wearing, and they look good. And some of them are a little way out, Willy, but they're good.
Hey, Trey, shout out to Trey Hill for that velvet red jacket he had.
Yeah,
that thing was nice.
I wonder what size that was. 60, 60 plus, wasn't it?
60 through the chest, absolutely.
What about the thighs?
I was about to say, yeah. I'm thinking this guy's probably a 42 in the waist, but has to wear like a 54 to get around his thighs.
I mean, yeah, no doubt.
Hey, I was impressed with that second team line. Those guys came in there the way Mays played and Hill played. I mean, that was impressive.
Hey, and Kirby Smart actually gave one of the Players of the Game awards to Ben Cleveland. So,
well,
you know,
the first line, I mean, any questions? But I think
I just thought that was kind of nice that we're talking about Isaiah Wilson.
Right.
The guy right beside him is Ben Cleveland. Ben graded out through the roof, apparently. So
Ben's playing really well.
So if you're one of those running backs, your DeAndre Swift, or maybe, you know, leading rusher Demetrius Robertson. who'd have saw that coming? You're thinking, hey, coach, give it to me around the right side between those two monsters, or I'll go around the left side behind Andrew Thomas, who we put up a video of him driving his kid to the bus. I mean, he just took that poor defensive end. And
yeah, he
him
took
down
him
the
back
field.
To Austin Peay. He took him all the way back to Nashville.
I mean, that's
and that play there was a good example of a different type of two play situation. You know, we've talked about RPOs where it can be a run or a pass. That was a run that had an inside run built into an outside run with it. So, you know, the line's blocking the inside run and securing the line of scrimmage. But if there's an overload in the secondary, then you hand the ball to the guy on the jet sweep to take it on outside, and then it's a one-on-one. And then boy, it's hard to tackle a guy in space like that. So I like that little scheme they put on him.
All right, we got a bunch of questions rolling in. Definitely want to hit as many of those as we can. Roddy?
But first I want to tell you real quickly about Athens Ford. You do know that we talk about them every week. They are the home of the lifetime powertrain warranty. So if you go out to Athens Ford and you get a new vehicle, you get a lifetime powertrain warranty. That's not at any Ford dealership. That's just at the Athens Ford dealership. So swing out there. You can even, like I did, you can buy a certified pre-owned vehicle, you know, or any of their used vehicles under 80,000 miles and get the lifetime powertrain warranty. So you have such peace of mind when you go out there. But these are some deals that are ending today, September 4th. They have 0% financing on the 2018 Ford Focus. You can get it for $14,000 with 0% financing for qualified buyers. That's pretty unreal. You can get the EcoSport for $17,900, 0% financing as well there. The 2018 Explorer, which is one I was looking at, it was $8,000 off or 0% financing. So, like I said, $17,900 on EcoSport or 0% financing, $13,999 or 0% financing on the Focus. And where's the, I want to get that. F-150. The 2018 F-150, $14,000 off. Now, I was going to get the 150 instead of the Explorer, but my wife said, I can't drive it. My wife is a petite woman.
Yes, quite.
She said, if you get that, I won't be able to drive it. So we went with the Explorer, and the Explorer, the gas pedal and the brake pedal actually move forward.
There you go.
So it was like, okay, honey, you can drive this one. So we got that one. So swing out to Athens Ford. Like I said, these deals end today, but you're into September, so what does that mean? The 2019s are going to be here. So I think that, I'm not saying that they're out there at Athens Ford yet. I'll double check on that and let you know next week, but I would not be surprised. But you know they're trying to get rid of all the 2018s to make room for the 2019, so now is the best time to get over there. Also, they're if you come in for a game day, when we got these 3:30 games, it's fantastic time to swing by and pick up something at Athens Ford.
No doubt.
I know one thing, when we were out there on our remote 2 weeks ago, I was impressed with just the overall organization of that place, the way, you know, everybody's on top of things and, you know, make you feel good coming in there. You got to feel good walking in that place knowing that not a lot of high-pressure deal. It's just, hey, we got a lot of cars and trucks here. We can make it happen. But
zero pressure and huge Georgia fans.
See what you can do for us. And that to me, you know, UGA factor's got to be in there too. Let's support them.
Absolutely. Michael Cagle. Coach, a lot of people already people falling all over themselves to get one in for the coach today.
Let's go. Let's run.
Michael Cagle says, Coach, some impressions of the freshmen or first-time starters. Any guys that kind of jumped off the page to you?
Well, we talked about Kamarja. He didn't punt much, but also I really like Tyson Campbell. A lot of pressure on you playing there, first rattle out of the box. But, you know, he wasn't going against the, you know, the flamethrower back there and any really great receivers. But he's got the kind of speed and the also the ability to, you know, if he does get beaten, to really catch up quick. And he's pretty tough and physical and a very cerebral kid. He's jumped in there really good this summer and done well. And then I think we all know about Cox and Anderson, what they bring to the table, you know, just a overpowering physical presence.
Anderson rode the bull on that kid, man.
Poor
and
kid.
Then you got Walker and Quay Walker and Tyndall at linebacker. I like them. And then Reese just continues to just be the potential there to be a guy that can come in there and be really physical but also cover the pass. Those are some defensive guys. And then offense, I talked about Mays. Even used him as an H-back. He started out the game as being a guy that could put it for an H-back, put him in motion number 42 instead of 77.
That took me a minute. I was like trying to flip through my roster and see who the hell that was.
You know, we talked about Tommy Bush got in there a little bit. I mean, we got to see him, but – you know, I think overall more of my impression on the freshmen is from, you know, fall camp and all that. But and certainly Justin came in there and did, you know, he was kind of limited in what they tried to do with him. He was under center more than I've seen him, you know, the whole time that he's been here. But he showed a very good propensity for that. Hill continues to be a developing case of a guy that can be multiple, being a center or guard. And both those tight ends look good, too. They're two good young players. And, of course, Cook. What can you say about Cook? That was a
no
tough
doubt.
Deal for him. But he's just –
He showed you. He showed you why we've been talking about him all summer.
He's got the Jets.
Miami don't play, dude. Miami hit you in the mouth. They'll score a touchdown, whatever
I think,
you need.
Florida State would like to have him last night.
Yeah, I think so.
And Hill and Mays and Wilson and anybody offensive lineman can get in a stance and block somebody, they would have taken him.
Yeah, you got to think that, you know, young Cook is like, yeah, I may be suspended for the first half of last game, but at least I ain't playing at FSU.
Yeah, so, no doubt.
And shout out to Luke Ford, nice catch that he had, tough kid. And to your point about Tyson Campbell, I thought he was a little more of a finesse guy, but he hit a couple times pretty hard, so that's poked out to me. And
well, there goes the competition factor there that our guys really, really practice hard. They really work hard on form tackling, angle tackling, some techniques that maybe you wouldn't get in high school that Mel Tucker, an ex-pro coach, Kirby Smart, a guy that's put a lot of guys in, he knows how to teach that. And they, you know, a lot of it, you gotta want to do it, but you got to know how to do it too. You know what I mean? Put yourself in position. A lot of missed tackles in first games we saw over the weekend. Not a lot by us, but if you can't tackle, you can't play on defense. I mean, that's why you play defense, get a guy on the ground.
All right, I want to segue off of the points both of you just made. Jeremy McClendon, I think, asks a very important question. He says, do you expect to see Tyson Campbell start opposite of Baker again this week? I don't think that there was – I didn't see anything necessarily that would
– Unless he didn't play as good as we think he did, I would say he would just because, you know, he didn't do anything to lose the job. And, you know, we got certainly Webb and Poole and Stokes that can come in there too in these different packages. But the guy's big, strong, physical. I'm not worried about freshman starters as much as I am lack of ability, and he certainly got it.
Another cornerback question here from Alvin Todd. He said, Coach, dogs don't usually switch sides of the field with their DBs. Do you expect that they will put Baker to follow Debo all over the field?
You know,
this
we can
week?
See that if we play much man coverage, you know, from the standpoint of pure man without safeties behind. We like to play what we call two man, where you have the five people underneath, whether it's a dime guy, a nickel guy, or just a regular people playing man to man, backs on the linebackers on the back, linebackers on the tight end, the corners are on the wide receivers, and we play with knowing we got help over the top, or we play man free where we got one guy, but pure all out man, if we would do that without any help, I would say we'd put Baker on this guy. He's just the dominant player, and he's our best guy. But he makes a good point. We don't switch him that much from side to side, but we do have some packages where he could go with him.
I thought it was awesome, too, to hear Kirby Smart shout out Debo Samuel as the most underrated player in college football. Hard to disagree with that point, I think.
Well, he's definitely underrated
very, very
from the standpoint
dude.
Of national press, but certainly the East Coast and the SEC know what his ability is, and he's going to be a focal point of their attack with their kick returns, all the stuff he does, but it's not like we don't know who he is. We'll have a good plan for him.
No
and,
doubt.
I think
– watch those safety shade that way, too.
I think what's happened with our team all fall has been that we've really prepared for the fast stuff that they bring to us by working against it against our own team. So we'll be ready for that. And, you know, that's good stuff, but – you know, if you're not lined up, it works a lot better. You know what I mean? So it's going to be interesting to see. This is going to be a pressure-packed game for South Carolina, you know, trying to get over the hump and say they're, you know, everybody's talking about, hey, how much have they gotten better and where are they and all that. But, you know, you got a new coordinator with B-Mac calling the play. So we'll see how it goes. But, you know, they got to prove they can do it against us too.
I know you got some other questions,
yep.
But I'm going to jump in on this thought. You mentioned the speed. I think a lot of people's eyes were opened this past game against, again, granted, it's Austin Peay, but I don't know that South Carolina or a lot of teams have the ability to chase down a Demetrius Robertson jet sweep the way that was blocked. You know, shout out to the blocking on that play. It was fantastic. If you dump one across to Mecole Hardman without a safety up there to stop him, I mean, the safety actually had an angle on him. He blew past him. We've seen you got Tyson. I'm about to say Tyson. Tyler Simmons again. Tyler Simmons. We know he's a track guy who can take off. You know, Georgia's got some ridiculous speed on this team when it comes to the offense. You can dump it out to some of those guys, and then you know if you don't want to go fast, you go big. You got Riley Ridley out there. You know, maybe Matt Landers
and Terry Godwin didn't even play.
Yeah. So I like. I think a lot of people who were used to last year's kind of smash mouth football, the bully ball, as Jim Chaney called it, that offensive line leaning on people, and then, you know, watching, you know, the 47 20-plus yard plays that Georgia had last year, led the nation in plays over 20 yards from, you know, from scrimmage. Some of those were just, I don't want to say were due to, it wasn't so much speed as it was they just beat everybody. They beat them down. This year, though, this is going to be some exciting football. There'll be some hiccups, don't get me wrong, but I think it's fun to see the ball in Mecole Hardman's hands. Akeel Crumpton, you know, he played, that kid blocked his pants off. And
well, we had a good scouting report on them just from the standpoint where they're going to load it up to stop the run, yeah. And Jake just dumped the ball off, which that's what you do against that. There's no need to batter your head against the wall trying to knock them over when they're lined up like that. They were out, man. They took some shots, but I think the big key for us offensively is going to be when we have to throw the ball on third down, are we going to be able to protect and are we able to separate from these different people when you don't have the advantage of run or pass? So that's going to be a real key issue for us.
That leads in very well, I think, to this next question. Araj, I'm not even going to attempt the last name.
I know Araj. He's a good guy.
There
he's
you
a
go.
Good guy.
He says,
pronounce it for us.
Araj.
Yeah. He says, Coach, what are some of the areas, and this is an interesting question, I think, based off of the team they played last week, because, you know, it's hard to tell when you're going against this kind of opponent like Austin Peay. He says, what are some of the areas you think that we need to work on after last week? He said, I felt like the O-line didn't play to their potential, seemed a bit out of sync and did not run well up the middle.
Well, here's what happens, Raj. When other teams run in all those different defenses that try to stop you, sometimes they confuse you a little bit and you look bad. But at the same time, we're not sending a postal Western Union telegram to South Carolina what we're going to do. We were about as vanilla as a vanilla milkshake the last week. We didn't do hardly anything in our whole package. So he makes a good point. They did burn us a couple of times with their A-gap blitzes, and that happens sometimes, you know, from the backside when you're going, when you don't cut a guy off. And we got some new people playing in the groupings, and Coach Pittman's moving guys around. So I'm concerned a little bit about that too, because, you know, last year we were kind of Burma Road. We could take those, just get any kind of deal with those backs. But you're looking at some new people playing in different positions. So that's one area of concern, you know, making sure we can block the point of attack and not getting any lost yardage plays. And then defensively stopping the run. We're gonna have a hard time making up for Carter going and Roquan being out. So we're not going to be quite
and Trent Thompson.
We're not going to be quite as stout against the run starting out. But the best thing about any team is this part of the year, the biggest room in the world is the room for improvement. You're going to go from first game to second game. You're going to keep getting better. And I want to say that that's a little bit of a downer for stopping the run, but our whole package is going to make up for that. And the other thing that's good about it is the fact that our coaches recognize that, and we can scheme a little bit to stop some of that stuff. We're playing vanilla on defense too, so I think, you know, you're still beating them 45-0, playing about 80 players. Come on.
That's true. I got another question for you, Coach, but I want to let everybody know that Academia – the brewing company that takes care of us. Every time we mention them, you have to take a drink. It's like a new drinking game. They can officially announce that this week, Academia kicks off the season of being the official away game watch party for venue for the Athens UGA alumni. So if you are in Athens and you are part of the UGA alumni, they actually they have a limited number of seats set aside during the away games in a special UGA section. Now, to reserve your seat, it's very simple. Just reach out to them. You can purchase a commemorative pint glass for each game if you like. The number out there is 678-726-2288. That's 678-726-2288. And alumni who want to attend all five viewing parties can also pre-purchase a discounted pint glass bundle, your little cool pint glasses, for $20 when they call and make their reservation. So,
pretty cool.
It is. So, you know, they got a little place set aside. They actually brought out another big screen and another projector for maximum Bulldog viewing. So if you are a Georgia alum and you want to watch the game, if you're not going to South Carolina, you're not going to Missouri.
What if you're not an alum? Can you do it?
You can still go out there, but you probably won't be in that little reserve spot. But they still got so many
TVs.
You got
to show your diploma to get in there?
I think so. Yeah, they're checking you at the door, you know. But they got all these.
Get a good fake.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you're really going to – if you're in town and you want to go to a place where you can watch the game. You know it's going to be on. They're going to have the sound on. It's not going to be, hey, look, it's on a small TV over in the corner, you know, and get fantastic beer and the best food around. Swing by Academia.
That'd be a good way to do it. I tell you, do you hate to go to somebody else's house and watch a game?
I won't. No, won't do it.
You're trying to watch it and somebody's asking you stupid questions.
Yeah,
and
no.
You want to be nice and all. And I mean, come on.
Well, there's a lot of bars I won't go out to. You know, they say, come to, you know, hey, let's go watch a game at Rafferty's or something. Hell no, because they always have like 80s serious music on, you know. The game's on. They don't have the play-by-play up. You can't hear the announcer. A lot of times I don't want to hear the announcer.
And like you said,
I still
too,
want they stick the main
it,
TV.
Yeah, sometimes they stick it over in the corner, and they're like, yeah, that's the Georgia TV over there.
And if you start cheering, everyone looks at you like, are you drunk? Or, yeah, well, yeah.
I am drunk.
I am, but I still want to cheer, you know. So
come on.
I want to go to this place that, you know, everybody in there, the waitresses, the maitre d's, everybody's like, hey, the Georgia game's on. This is all about Georgia. In other words, they're not asking you questions when it's on the third and three. They're, hey, how's your meal? They're waiting until after the play is over. Then they see what you need.
So, yeah, then they're high-fiving you, too.
Yeah, exactly. So swing up to Academia, big sponsor there. And what do we got here in front of us that you guys are sucking down?
Yeah, so you got the Honey Blonde today, and I got the IQ IPA.
He's asking about the food.
Oh, the food. Oh, we got sausage, pickles, and cheese out here.
Give me that.
Fried pickles.
And some fried pickles as well. So you can have your pickles raw or fried, now, however you prefer them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Let's go for it.
All right. We got a couple. We got a bunch of questions rolling in, Coach. I want to touch on this one, kind of lump a few people in because we got several people asking here. People talking about the pass rush, Julian Rochester getting mentioned. Nando Lanier says, are we impressed with our pass rush? Josh Rowan, I'm going to add this on as a second part. He says, how many sacks Georgia gets this week, plus or minus four?
This is actually, you know, when I said I had a question for you, it was the exact same thing.
It's hard to know.
We didn't see a whole lot.
It's hard to know about what the pressures are going to be. You know, part of most of the time that happens when you get a four-man pressure, you get a mismatch and a guy runs around the guy. Like last night, that Florida State left tackle had a couple whiffs and that kid. So that happens. But if you go against a good guy, sometimes you don't get any sacks, but you get pressures. You know, Kirby's always talked in terms of what can we do to affect the quarterback, getting his face. And we were in their face a lot, just didn't put him on the ground a lot. But I think Bentley's going to be a guy who's hard to rush. You know, he catches and throws the ball quickly. They run those RPOs. I don't see us getting a lot of sacks unless we get him in third down and long. But and not because we can't rush the passers, just because they don't have the system that lets you do it. I mean, they're throwing the ball. Some, you know, they're blocking a run when they're throwing the ball.
Ronnie Brown here says, what was your impression of the linebacker play, especially specifically inside linebackers? He said, I thought Juwan Taylor looked good. Monty Rice has unbelievable speed. But Tindall, in my opinion, looked great.
Well, he's right, Ronnie. That's very, very good, astute analysis. You know, I think all four of those guys on the first four did a certain amount of good things. And, you know, Crowder's pretty fast. Monty Rice has got a good leadership and he knows the system. He's coming along. We got Patrick and, you know, we got Taylor. But I really like Tindall and Walker down the road. I think both of them are going to be really good. So they're just going to evolve and get better. I mean, you're replacing the best linebacker in the country, so you can't expect them to do all that. But again, I bring out the collective 11. You know, we might not have quite as many stars, but I think all of them put together are going to augment each other.
Well, to your point, I thought this was funny. You're talking about, you know, Georgia being very vanilla. I compared them to a Vienna finger milkshake in a snowstorm. You know, they were not tipping their hat in any way, shape, or form. Apparently, Will Muschamp in his press conference today did not receive a depth chart from Georgia. And then he says, quote, maybe Claude Felton is slipping. I don't know. I'm sure it had nothing to do with Kirby.
He's depth charged. I mean, come on.
They don't matter, but at the same time, it's funny. Kirby will say it doesn't matter, but then he won't put one out until, like, right before the game.
Talk about Will and Kirby, that's going to be a – can you imagine that talk before the game?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Well, it's funny. They'll do one out in public, you know, where they're out there shaking hands and they kind of joke around. But I want to know what the phone call before the game is like when they talk to each other.
I tell you what, the week before the game, I never talked to a guy that I knew. Like, I couldn't talk to him. Because you think everything you say to him, he's saying, yeah, you're just throwing this bait out to me. And then he's throwing this bait out to me. And
you weren't playing mind games with your coaches, Patriots?
I mean.
Oh, I would have. I'd have called him up. Yeah, we just lost our starting running back. He's dead. We're not going to tell anybody.
There's a reason he's in the College Football Hall of Fame.
But old, and I could coach a bunch of 8-year-olds.
Yeah, right.
The best one, though, is when Spurrier said to me out there, said, what do you think about those blue pants we're wearing, Jimmy? I said, I don't care about those blue pants, Steve. This is the first time we wore those blue pants.
Holy crap.
I mean, why would we – I mean, hey, I didn't look at pants. We never wore those blue pants
before. I want to look at all the guys wearing. I mean, the guys that are in those pants are the ones that are run all over you.
Hey, that's right.
Maurice Carter here. Let's hop back into some more questions. Right. Maurice says, going into this week's game against South Carolina, what do you guys think is going to be the deciding factor for Georgia winning?
Turnovers.
I would say –
That's my pat answer.
I like that answer. I think we're going to have to lose the game to them. I mean, we're going to have to make the mistakes to give them some juice, you know. I mean, just because we've seen it happen. I had it happen to me down there. We gave it to them. I mean, they took it. But at the same time, that happens sometimes, though. Look at that, all the games this weekend, the mistakes in the kicking game, the turnovers, the lost yardage plays. Teams beat themselves when they're not – dominant, but you know,
Miami killed themselves.
If a team's a dominant team, then it's hard to lose, even if that happens. But you know, this team's good enough to beat us if we don't take care of business. That's no question. I mean, they got good kick return game, they got a very astute quarterback, and their defensive front first 11 are really good. I think our depth can help us in a hot situation. I think we can maybe wear them down a little bit from that standpoint. But this is a tough game. I mean, you look at our schedule after this game, up until the LSU game. I mean, you know, we're going to have to go play on every game. But, I mean, this is the best team we're going to play between now and LSU, and one of the three best we play all year.
You mentioned the depth, and that's something that nobody's asked here yet, but I think it's an important question because this is Georgia's first time in the year where they're going to have to cut down the travel roster, take 70 guys only. How do you make those decisions?
Well, that's a hard deal there. I mean, I've been trying to look at it in my own mind what I would do, because you got situations there. You got three guys that got a little dinged up situation with Jackson and Stanley and Godwin, all three very important in your special teams. And then, but you
know, Tariq McGee too.
If you don't know, well, he can't. He might be able to go. I forgot about him. He might be ready to go. If he is, they're going to take him because you know he's got that experience playing against. Because we're going to use some nickel and dime packages. But those three guys right there, you know, can you afford to take all three of them if there's a chance that one of them can't? You know, so
and when then, do you got to break it. When do you have to announce that? Or
I mean, by 1:30 when you get there.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I don't know if it was like
But I think I don't know if you can take 72 and then and then dress out 70.
That's what I was wondering.
I don't know if you can do that or not. I probably not. But you know how Willie the Wildcat got his uniform at Kansas State. The coach there, Ellis Rainsberger, they said you couldn't take but so many guys, so he took his extra punter with his pants on. You notice that Willie the Wildcat has some, and he was Willie the Wildcat. So when he was ready to go, if he needed to go, he took that off and put his shoulder pads. He was an extra kicker.
So that's awesome.
I don't know that we're gonna get our guy's hairy dog down there, but that's a true story. But
Harry Dog
getting back to that
week.
Though, you got to look at the kicker. You probably take a swing kicker. You know, take a punter and a kicker and a swing guy. Kamarja could kick if he needed to, and you got to have a deep snapper and a backup there. So I mean, it goes pretty quick when you start getting to 70.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're taking 15 offensive linemen and then 13 defensive linemen, and you're into
the other thing that adds to this 30. Is compared to the past, you knew you were redshirting some people, so you didn't take a guy automatically. But now when they can play four games, you might take a guy thinking that, hey, you know, we might need him for this game and might not need him for Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, and that goes back to your point about depth. You know, this has always been the thing about playing South Carolina early in the season. Georgia's been able to beat them numerous times the same way that Georgia's lost to other teams. Take their starting 22 or 24, if you want to count the kickers and punters. South Carolina will match up very well with a lot of teams in the country. But once you get into their second group, that's where they fell off. And Georgia would have the same thing. Georgia starting 22 against Alabama, go toe-to-toe. But Alabama had more depth. They would wear you down towards the end of the game. And I noticed this when South Carolina, a couple of their starters would get hurt. You know, they start out the season on fire. They lose a couple starters towards the end. They were losing games, you know, or in fights of their lives against Kentucky and Florida and teams like that. So, you know, South Carolina looks to be healthy. They're deeper than they have been in the past, but they're not quite as deep as Georgia is right now. And now all of a sudden you got to, you know, hey, got to cut your list to 70. So, still, you have more depth than they do. But I always say this, when you have – Georgia's favored by 10, right? To me, upsets always come around by three factors: special teams, turnovers, and penalties. And like you said, when you say a team beats themselves, if Georgia has turnovers, Georgia has a lot of penalties, Georgia messes up on special teams, you can give a game away. We've noticed that when Alabama loses a game. We notice that if Ohio State loses a game. You know, if Clemson loses, it's usually they're in the negative in the turnover department. They had some key penalties in
All you got to do is look at Clemson losing to Syracuse last year.
Yeah.
I mean, Syracuse didn't win another game. Yep. I mean, they beat them, and then they lost seven straight. So it can happen. I mean, you look at Appalachian almost beat Penn State. But I don't know that would be the magnitude of South Carolina. But I think Will's done a good job of teaching his system, particularly on defense. They, you know, they've gotten a lot better, and he's got a quarterback that knows what to do. But you know, they're still in a transitional period with their offense, because this is the sixth offensive coordinator he's had in 7 years as a head coach. So hopefully for BMAC, he'll be able to establish himself and be the guy. But you know, you get a little impatient when your defense is playing good and your offense doesn't do the job, you know. And that was his real nemesis at Florida. They just didn't never get an offense going. But I think having Bentley there is going to help them.
This is a very interesting question, because I just looked at the depth chart and I see where the guy's going with it. Shan Trotter says, do you think that South Carolina is better at wide receiver than UGA? And I know that that's a tall order, but listen to this depth chart. They got Debo Samuel, Josh Van backing him up.
Ooh.
Great freshman.
Yeah.
Brian Edwards, tremendous player recruited
by
Georgia.
Did we offer Josh Van?
Not really.
Trace. Tell the truth. I mean,
it was close, though. I do think it was close.
We've seen Josh Van.
I think Josh Van's a good player. Yeah. He's good, but
Brian Edwards or Trey Smith, both of those guys did have Georgia offers. Shai Smith and Randrickus Davis. Randrickus Davis, one time a Georgia commit. Obviously, things fell apart there. So they've got six guys that are pretty deep. I mean, that's a formidable room of wide receivers.
I think both rooms are good. It's just a question of what kind of protection you get, what kind of route. You know, they're more of a passing team than we are as far as their style. They don't have the running game we have, do they, Roddy? I don't think they do.
No.
Or the offensive line.
They haven't had the same running system since Mike Davis left.
So I think it's just going to be a case of, you know, no question Debo is a difference maker type guy, but we got some difference makers. We just don't utilize them quite as much as we do our backs. So it's pretty much a wash there at receiver, yeah. I think.
And don't get me wrong, they can run the ball, but I'm particular Mike Davis. I love the kid. And that was when he was back there, when you see that 28 in Gamecocks uniform, you knew he was just going to pound you to death. So, well, but they've been throwing it a lot lately. So
Marcus Lattimore.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously about this, though, most of their runs come off of RPOs where the team's playing the pass and you got the run angles and – whereas we can run the ball on runs. I mean, you know, I think – but it's still very early in the year, and I don't think anybody can make a definitive prognostication about what's going to happen in this game, because you don't know enough about what they got. They didn't show a lot against Charleston Southern. We didn't show a lot. So it's really kind of opening game, except you both have played a game. You know what I mean? You're going to show your stuff.
Austin Springer says, do you think Isaiah Wilson will be conditioned well enough this weekend? For this weekend, it's going to be a hot one. I thought he looked good on Saturday, so I think he should be okay. It's not going to be that much hotter on in Columbia. It was hot as hell on Saturday.
It's hot, but at the same time, you got some guys in there. Cade Mays, I mean, there's not a drop-off that much. These guys have been fighting for the position all year. I feel like Kay can go in there and give him a blow if you need to. I mean, I know that Sam feels confident in Kay, and so does Kirby. So
I'd put Kendall Baker in there too.
But I mean, all these guys. So, but you know, being realistic, everybody going to the game in shorts and shirts, and they're going to be talking about how hot it is, but you're out there with a 6'8", 350, and you got all that stuff on you now. Hey, give the guy a break. I mean, he's going to get hot.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. All right,
and he's from New York.
Coach, we've been, I've been waiting on this one all day. Who is your mouth-watering player of the week headed into this battle in Columbia?
I think Kirby Smart. And I say that because I just feel like Kirby Smart's going to have our team ready to play. I think this is a big deal for him personally, going against a friend of his. It's a big deal to him to understand what our team can and can't do. The other teams don't know what we can't do, what we can do. I just like him as a tactician in a game like this. I think he's, and I think Muschamp's a good coach too. There's no question about it, but I feel good about what Kirby's done to get our program to this point. And I think when you have that kind of coach, then you eliminate a lot of the chance of a team not being ready.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Our team's going to be ready to go.
Well, and the point you made, too, about depth, I think, comes into play in a very huge way this week.
Speaking of depth, I want to go over something real quick. We told you about Aaron Overhead Doors being one of our sponsors, and I was on their webpage the other day, and I noticed all the awards they've gotten. Talk about a depth chart. So they're A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, Best of Gwinnett 2016, Best of Gwinnett 2017. They'll likely get Best of Gwinnett 2018. The Gwinnett Chamber Pinnacle Small Business Awards finalist, Angie's List awards. So Aaron Overhead Doors, if you go through and look at their reviews, go to Yelp and stuff like anything like that, you will see people absolutely love them. You know, check the Google reviews, check the Better Business reviews.
Now, will they come over here into Clark County?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Anything North Georgia. I mean, I've seen – and it's funny. You actually click on their service area, and it's gigantic. So,
all right.
Atlanta, Alpharetta, Buford, Cumming.
That's good.
Suwanee, Buford. I mean, you pretty much.
Duluth, Flowery Branch, Johns Creek.
Come on down.
Gaines Creek, Suwanee, and more. So.
Sugar Hill. Yeah, everywhere you need
And it shows a map of all the places where they've put indoors and stuff like that. So if you get a chance, again, the guy out there, Ryan Lucia, who runs it, is a huge Georgia guy. He's a member of UGASports.com because he knows where to spend his money for Georgia coverage. So he obviously has good taste. Thank you, Ryan. So if you want to support our show and keep Coach Don coming back eating all the food.
Oh, come on.
swing out to call Aaron.
I'll tell you one thing I was disappointed in last week on y'all's coverage. You did everything, but you didn't tell me what size shoes the Georgia players were wearing.
Well, Kirby will yell at
us. I haven't got the complete chart yet. We didn't want to run.
We can give you the starting lineup.
How many different stories did you actually have?
I think on game day we put out 16 or 17.
Yeah, 16.
That's impressive.
Stories.
Yeah, we finished
Very
it up
impressive.
With about another five on Sunday. So
I'm gonna give you a shout out on that.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
We actually had
not too much, but I'm gonna give you.
I'll take a little one. We also it's a good time to announce we had a former TV broadcaster by the name of Dane Young join the staff this week. He does a film breakdown that I made free this morning. So if you go to UGASports.com, it was behind the paywall on Sunday. There's about 10 or 15 clips there with shadow boxes and the highlights and the arrows and everything.
Where does he get the film?
CBS or ESPN, whoever was on there. So he's just doing a little clip of it. It's pretty sharp. So if you get a chance, watch the tape, his little breakdowns. They are phenomenal. You will learn more about Georgia football doing that than anything I'll ever write. So
All right, we got one last thing here. Kamel Oz has been asking me a lot about 2020 recruiting. He says, do you think we look good right now for – and then he lists off a laundry list of guys. I'll tell you this.
Get a membership at UGASports.com.
He's got one. He's got one.
Give us a run.
Kamel, I will tell you this on all of these guys. I'm going to give you a big blanket statement on all of them. I'm interested to see if these guys get on campus this season. That'll determine, I think, a lot more about where they stand with those guys. For me right now, the 2020 class, it feels so far away. Yes, they're already adding some commitments for it, but you got to be focused on wrapping up this 2019 class in a strong way. They've still got guys like Lewis Sine, Tyreek Stevenson out there that they're trying to work on, Clay Webb over in Oxford, Alabama. So these 2020 guys, it's going to be all about the visits. So follow the visits for now. We'll see how involved Georgia gets on those.
If Georgia gets Clay Webb, that's going to be disgusting.
Well, it's going to be real nice, yeah.
And Tariq Stevenson. That's nothing against Sign. And who else are they looking into?
Lord. He put me on the spot. N'Kobe Dean
that,
is still
that was
a play.
The one I was
yeah,
to remember.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we had a little something with Owen Papo last week. Said he's planning on continuing to visit Georgia a couple of times this season. Said he loves to watch football, which he does.
Who's the kid that decommitted from Auburn?
Ja'Kai Clark. He's a center slash guard. I'd be surprised with the guys that Georgia still kind of has in the mix.
No, there's somebody else.
I don't know. Ja'Kai was the kid who immediately sprung into mind.
I thought there's somebody else. That
anyway, regardless, we'll be talking about all of that over at the Vault. So hop on there with us.
To let people know, the Vault is, if you go to UGASports.com, again, it's 27 cents a day. You get 15, 20
stories.
You're
not charging enough.
Yeah, I know we're not, but it's okay. We've been this. Well,
usually go up. You
we haven't gone up since
in.
Day one. It's the same price for 20 years. We have two because we have a lot of new members, and I know some of you folks are watching this for the first time. You have the Vent, which is the granddaddy of all message boards. That's where people go to talk Georgia football. But if you want to talk recruiting, there's a second message board called the Vault, and that's where we had to put everything because we had so many. Hey, Chad, questions, because people would ask about recruiting. We had to create a second message board just to talk about recruiting.
And don't worry, we still got Chad.
Oh, yeah. So, Chad's, yeah. There's still a lot of Hey, Chad questions, but now there's more Hey, Jake, Hey, Trent, you know, Hey, Paul, Hey, Patrick.
Andy Boykin.
Thank you.
Out of everybody got in there on me. So, Ja'Kai, I caught my attention this morning. Yeah, Andy Boykin decommitted 2020 DN out of Troup County.
Yeah, that's a 2020 kid, so that's why probably why you're thinking. Yeah.
Why don't
yeah.
you get one more and call it the VAT and talk about eating?
All right. Last thing, we've been doing we're doing the over-under this week, so we won't touch on that here necessarily, but –
Prediction over for under this, on what?
Well, we predicted over under on the score last week, but
what was over under
43.5?
You went over.
I did take the over. Yeah,
good.
So
I took the under.
That's why you lay your money with me. your prediction for this weekend, not over under, Coach, but who you think comes out on top?
James Brown. I feel good.
He feels good. He feels good. Roddy,
I'm taking the under.
Well, you don't have to. You can do.
I'm taking the under.
Will you pick the winner?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm taking the under.
Okay.
Taking the
Come
under.
Come on. Hey, you can't do that.
No.
All right.
Taking the under. There's a 10. The line's at 10, open to 10.
I like
what's the total then?
Oh, I didn't
You're
see.
Taking the under. What do you mean? You're taking the points?
Yeah.
You're taking South Carolina the points?
South Carolina the
well,
points.
Well, there's a difference. You don't even know the bookie parlay. The over and under is the number of points. If it's 45 points, you go under. If it's 45, you go over. But if you take South Carolina, you say, I'm taking the points.
I'm taking the points.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not a bookie.
I think, don't let him fool you. I think
you're taking South Carolina the points.
Yes,
I'm leaning toward Georgia in this one. I think the Bulldogs come out on top.
They're not going to win by more than 10.
Who knows about that? We just,
all right.
It's going to be a tough game. I promise. It's going
to
be tough.
Look, I've just gone to so many games in South Carolina that are supposed to go one way, and they don't go the way they're supposed to.
That's true.
Way too many.
But we changed that 2 years ago.
This is very true. But it's going to take me a while to get out of the 24 years or 23 years of. Being trained one way for see the, I feel the same way about LSU. What we saw in that LSU Miami game, I didn't know that if LSU was fantastic or Miami was just bad. But a lot of people are now nervous about LSU, and I'm like, I've been nervous about LSU since the game was announced because playing in Death Valley is just weird things happen. We mentioned on the show last week. That's where Billy Bennett missed three field goals. A guy who, he never did that, but he did it at LSU. It's just.
But he also, Quincy Carter hit 16 in a row down there.
Yeah, and then Daryl Gamble had, what, two pick sixes or something? I mean, that was – I was there for when Daryl Gamble went off. So, hopefully
– I got this voicemail from Coach O, and he said, I did one thing. I want Roddy and his boys to come on in there on Thursday night. We're going to get some gumbo. We're going to talk some football, and we're going to get ready for the Tigers. Tigers.
We're going Wednesday. Yeah.
Did you hear him on the sideline? He had a few expletives the other night.
I saw him that –
Who can
blood
determine
vessel.
Really what those words
that
are, though?
Blood vessel
when
on the
you
side
say
of his neck,
GD, it's a pretty good idea what it is. I mean, it's not go dogs when he's out there.
All right, we're going to wrap up on that one. Thank you so much to everybody for tuning in. Shout out to all our great sponsors.
And especially Your Pie. Like I didn't get a chance to talk about them earlier in the show. When you get a chance, swing by Your Pie. There's 58 locations. But what I really want is for one of our listeners who wants to make money to open up a Your Pie franchise. Make a lot of money, and then say, hey, thanks, guys, for that suggestion.
Let's get a GoFundMe deal for a Yorkpie deal.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you go.
If you want to make a lot of money, open a Yorkpie franchise. And work with Drew and Natalie French. They will take care of you. And, of course, shout out to 11 Alive for letting us be on their website. You know, we do it on their show. We're also going to start streaming this on – we're a little late today because we're trying to stream it on YouTube. We got to figure out how to take the sound and split it. And, of course, being here at Champy's with the wonderful fried pickles and pickle sausage and cheese plate. This sausage you can't get anywhere else. So you got to come here and try it, folks. It's unreal.
Real deal.
And we will talk to you next Tuesday at noon. But in a couple weeks, we might be flipping to 8 o'clock, so pay attention. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care. I don't know. That's past my bedtime, man.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.